This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Have you ever had to have a conversation with an older family member about whether it's still safe for them to drive? How did that go? Later this hour, we're marking Older Driver Safety Awareness Week with a conversation about the challenges aging drivers face and ways traffic safety experts work to help them stay on the roads, as well as to help to determine when it's no longer safe for them to drive. We'll also get their take on how to broach this difficult topic with loved ones and friends. But first, we hear about sea turtles frequently here in Southwest Florida. Today, we have a victory to celebrate. One of the species that calls our part of the state home is the green turtle, and it was recently announced that they have broken a record with 39,000 nests on Florida beaches. It's quite the comeback for the endangered breed of swimming turtle from only 464 nests observed 30 years ago. Here to talk with us about the green turtle and the other sea turtles that nest in our neighborhood is Maura Kraus. She's the Principal Environmental Specialist and Sea Turtle Protection Program Coordinator for Collier County. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Also here from the critically important Sanibel Captiva area is Kelly Sloan. She's the biologist with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. She's also a biologist who serves as the Sea Turtle Coordinator. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is a 25-year veteran of sea turtle observation who's been monitoring their activities as a volunteer with Turtle Time Incorporated. Carol Lift has been with the organization, which walks and watches the beaches along Fort Myers and Bonita Springs. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you.
We are talking about sea turtles and the news of record-breaking nesting numbers for the green sea turtle, different from many of the others that call our part of the world home. If you have a question about sea turtles or if you'd like to just join the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So Kelly Sloan, Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation and biologist, can you tell me the difference between the different turtles that nest here in Southwest Florida?
Sure. So the most common species of sea turtle that we see here in our area is the loggerhead. They've got a reddish-brown shell and yellow skin and this huge block-like head. That's how they get their name. And then we have the green sea turtle that, like you mentioned, we've been seeing more of recently. And they're a little bit bigger in size. They're about 3.5 feet long. And they've got this beautiful shell with sort of a starburst pattern on it. And they're actually named green sea turtles for the color of their fat, not the color of their shell. And the reason they have green fat is because they're actually vegetarians.
They have green fat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That keeps it interesting. And do we have Kemp's Ridleys here?
On Sanibel and Captiva, we've seen two Kemp's Ridleys nests. And they do forage as juveniles in the back bays.
And then do we have any leatherback sea turtles?
We've also had two documented leatherback nests on Sanibel.
Okay, so what's the situation for these different kinds of turtles? Are some endangered, some threatened?
Right. So the loggerhead is considered threatened in the state of Florida. And then the green, like you mentioned, it was on the brink of extinction many years ago, and they're really making a comeback, and they've actually, they're in the process of being downlisted to threatened.
Okay, well, yeah, but with the new news about the nesting, I guess that kind of helps them right along.
Right, yeah. So we had 34 green sea turtle nests on Sanibel this year, which is a large number for us. The previous record was 25 back in 2015, and we don't see, you know, a lot of the green nesting is concentrated on the central and southeast coast of Florida. So we don't see the huge numbers that they see, but this is a big number for us here.
What was it, and I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you, but what was it a couple decades ago? Does this mark a big increase over the last 30 years?
Absolutely. So I believe they started showing up on our beaches, Sanibel and Captiva, in the late 1990s, and we would see just one or two back then, and then kind of around, I think it was 2010, 2012 is where they started jumping up in numbers on our beaches.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit further south, Carol Lift with Turtle Time Incorporated, you're along Bonita and Fort Myers, is that correct?
Right, we cover Bonita Beach, Fort Myers Beach, and Big Hickory Island and Bunch Beach.
Did you see any green turtles this year?
No, not this year. We had one a few years ago, and we were hoping it'd come back, but it hasn't yet.
And then down further south in Collier County, Maura Kraus, have you seen any green turtles that far south?
Yes, we have. We've always had some nesting of green turtles, not on our mainland beaches. That's pretty sporadic, but more on Key Wade Island and down in the 10,000 Islands.
So did you have any this year?
I know Key Waden had some, and they had some down in the 10,000 Islands, but the mainland beaches of Collier County did not.
And you said earlier, before we went on the air, that there was a problem with predation. What happened? That was out on Key Waden?
Yeah, that was on Key Waden Island as well. They have feral hogs and coyotes.
Oh, hogs can really root around in those nests.
Yeah, they've had that problem a few times.
Oh, that's too bad to hear. I mean, the fact that there are nests, and there are a lot of nests, doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to make it out there. But I guess the chances are better for a greater number to make it out into the ocean.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So is the usual distribution of turtle nests, Maura, do you see them populate the same areas time and time again, or do you see them kind of shifting or changing? I mean, are we seeing more green turtles heading more further south, or no?
No, not really. As I said, on Collier County beaches, we mainly have loggerhead sea turtles, and we had a pretty good population a couple decades ago when we started seeing that slipping in the early 2000s. And since 2012, we've seen it a dramatic rise in the number of loggerhead turtle nests.
Mm-hmm. So as far as other turtles go, how did this year compare to last year or years past for Collier County and then also in Fort Myers and Bonita?
Well, our record year was last year, but this year was still pretty high. So
you had some good numbers.
We had some really good numbers, which is what I'm most concerned about, but we also had a lot of devastating effects from storms.
Yeah, the storms and those hurricanes, yeah it was not so good. And then, Carol, how did it look in the midsection there in Bonita and Fort Myers?
Well, we have lower numbers than Maura and Kelly do, but we had a record number of nests this year. The most nests we've had since we started monitoring in 1989. So we had a total of 327 nests.
Wow, that's great.
So just on that small area, last year we had 270. So
that's a pretty big increase.
Good.
You from
yes.
270 to what was that?
327.
That's a pretty hefty increase percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. It's quite a bit. I wonder. It's hard to know exactly what that is owed to, you know, I mean, why it went up that much. So are you talking about mainly loggerheads?
Yes, all loggerheads. Yes.
Oh, all there.
Yeah.
All right. And so nesting season begins in Florida, and it runs from May 1 through October 31st. Some years nesting activity begins in April because, you know, turtles don't have calendars. So biologist Kelly Sloan, what actually prompts sea turtles to begin nesting activity? Does it have something to do with environmental conditions like ocean temperature?
Yeah, so my understanding is that the ocean temperature is what cues them to start mating. And then, you know, it all follows after that. So once they've bred, then the nesting season will begin shortly after that.
So how many nests will a sea turtle typically lay in a season?
It's about 3 to 5 for loggerheads.
Really? So they come ashore 3 to 5 times during one season?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then they'll take a year or two off in between nesting seasons.
Oh, well, see, for some reason, I always thought they just came up once. And is that loggerheads only, or do other turtles act differently?
All sea turtles do that. They have a different number of average clutches. Kind of varies a little bit by species, but not too much.
Uh-huh. So how many eggs are typically laid in a single clutch?
For our beach, our average is about 110 eggs.
Now, does that average change from beach to beach?
I don't think much within the region, but it can. For example, I used to work in South Carolina, and the clutches were a little bit larger there.
Huh. Do they know why that is?
I'm sure it has something to do with energetics, but I don't know the details of it.
All right. So how many of those eggs generally usually hatch?
It varies a lot by season. You know, you have predator issues and storms, like Maura mentioned. This year we had a record number of hatchlings emerge. We had over 43,000 on our beaches, and that was really high. I think our hatch rate was about 75%, even with all the storms that we had this year, and that's because our predation rate was really low. But it really varies a lot from year to year.
Yeah, there are so many different factors that can impact things.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons they lay so many nests each season. So, you know, they're not putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak.
All right. We are talking about sea turtles, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. And as always, we invite you to join the conversation at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So May through October, biologists, environmental specialists, and scores of volunteers walk Florida's beaches late at night and in the pre-dawn hours, reading the sand for signs of sea turtle activity. They mark what appears to be new nests and then check for signs of a hatch when the 70-day incubation period approaches. So, Carol Lift with Turtle Time, for those of us who haven't actually seen a turtle nest, what do they look like?
Well, we have volunteers that walk every morning, and we follow the tracks. You'll see a track This is a large turtle, 200 to 300 pounds. When she leaves the ocean, will leave a track like a little bulldozer track, basically, and it'll come up toward the dunes or the vegetation, and then there'll be a disturbed area, generally a disturbed area, and then you'll see a track coming back down. So
you're mainly looking for the tracks, but are you looking for like a little raised area, that disturbed area? Is that easy to pick out?
It's usually pretty significant.
Well, for a trained eye like yours, yeah. I mean, you've been doing this for 25 years, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, you know more than I do,
But we all go through training. We're all on a permit. All of the different organizations, we're on a permit with FWC. And then we go to a training that walks us through how to identify the tracks, because the different species have a different track as well. So when you're looking at the tracks, you can identify the species about how big the turtle was, and you can read the sand to see basically what did the turtle do while she was ashore. You know, did she nest or did she just come around and come up and look around and then go back?
Find it not suitable.
So we go through that training, and then Turtle Time also does additional training for our new volunteers.
Do you have a lot of instances where a turtle comes ashore and decides that she doesn't like that place for her nest?
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yes.
Like what, about 50% of the time? I'm just curious. I mean, you know, what are the odds of seeing that?
Generally, they run about 50%. Well, I don't want to say about 50%. But, for example, let's say we had 327 nests and we had 464 false crawls.
Oh, false crawls is what it's called.
False crawl or non-nesting emergence.
Yeah. Well, you know, moms have to be picky about where they're going to do what they're going to do.
And
it
depends on the sand. It depends on, you know, were there people there? It depends on different things, you know, is there vegetation or debris? I mean, it could be a whole lot of different things.
Did you find that there were more false crawls this year? I mean, could the weather have played a part in their decision to not nest? Just curious.
I think we're seeing more people on the beach at night.
You think
and
that's
I
it?
Think that's a very big part of it. It's a big issue.
Yeah. So, Carol, for it takes them something like 20 years before a turtle reaches sexual maturity and begins reproducing. And for loggerheads, it's closer to up to 30 years. So that's what we're seeing down, you know, Fort Myers and Bonita. And do you feel like this year's nesting numbers give us kind of a glimpse into the past as far as current nesting data having something to tell us about how successful sea turtle protection has been in the last several decades?
Well, I mean, as Kelly had said also, it is cyclical. So you have to look at it more on a long-term, really long-term basis. But we're, you know, looking at our numbers, we're kind of getting reassured that hopefully we're doing something right as far as, you know, better protection, you know, better lighting enforcement, things like that, better education to the public. And we're thinking that, or hoping with all of those extra efforts that it's making a difference.
Well, it sounds like it so far. So, Maura, how long have you been involved in tracking these turtles?
30 years.
So you've been at this for as many decades as the study that we're talking about. And what have you seen change? I mean, we have more people, but we have more efforts to try to help. I mean, have you seen things? What kind of differences would you point out?
I think it's more of a statewide and also, you know, countrywide and international assistance to sea turtles in general. You know, a lot of scientific and technical things have changed. In the 80s, we put in regulations that, TED regulations, turtle excluder device on commercial shrimp boats. And I think that and changing the hooks to circle hooks on long lines, and I think a lot of changing fishery methods have also contributed to this.
It seems like it's been a multi-pronged effort is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then that education thing. I mean, how many people knew what you were up to 30 years ago when you'd get up at 5 in the morning to walk around?
Not many.
So then you kind of, you know, spread the knowledge with your expertise. And then, I mean, do you remember at the very beginning, was it just so thrilling to see more than one or two on a walk and now you see so many, or has it changed that much?
Oh, yes, it has. You know, just keeping up with our supplies and things. So it's been pretty amazing since 2012. You know, it was getting really discouraging back in the early 2000s, you know, when we had like 400 nests and it's like, where are the turtles? You know, where are they going? It was pretty scary. And then, you know, the past few years, like this year countywide, we had over 1,500. So from going to, you know, 400 in the entire county to 1,500, it's pretty significant.
That's a really big change.
Yes,
that's a lot. So that has to make it feel better to go out there. Was it hard for volunteers to see things when it was getting bad, but now do they feel a lot better now that the numbers are up?
Oh, I sure hope so.
Is it hard to resist the urge to protect these guys? You know, you see this little nest and it's vulnerable. For example, like on Key Waden, like you mentioned with the predation, you just want to go up and put like a barrier around them to save them.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, we're under strict state guidelines, you know, of what we can do and what we can't do. And, you know, we have to leave a nest in place. And, you know, even with the weather coming up, that's, I think, what made it the hardest for us is watching the nest wash away, and there was nothing we could do about it.
Did we see a lot of nests get washed away by Hurricane Irma?
We did. In Collier County on the mainland beaches, we had 238 out of our 927 wash away. But the nest came late in season. We did have a little bit of problems with Tropical Storm Emily back in the beginning of season, but nothing like 2012 with Hurricane or Tropical Storm Debbie and Isaac that came in earlier. So we had more nests on the beach. We hadn't even started hatching when Tropical Storm Debbie came. So we saw a lot more impacts in 2012 than we did this year.
And there's just nothing really you can do. You can't. And I'm wondering, we have hurricanes, obviously, which are devastating to everybody. But when we have those horrible rains, remember a couple of weeks before Hurricane Irma, does that kind of mainland rain, does that have an impact out on the beach too?
It very well could. It depends, you know, it depends on the topography of the beach.
Yeah, and the placement. You know, if you're right there on one of those where all the water kind of comes off the houses or through from the streets or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And if there's any stormwater runoff and, you know, coming from a seawall or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm. So biologist Kelly Sloan, the news about more turtle nests is great. But does that tell us anything about how many of the young actually make it out to sea? Is there are they continuing to track it on all the way through?
Well, the generally accepted number is that about 1 in 1,000 makes it to adulthood. And I think that they started this Sand to Sea project this year in the state of Florida to try and determine how many of the hatchlings that emerge from the nest are actually making it to the water. So we'll learn a lot that way, too.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of studies do they have? I mean, was it anecdotal, the 1 in 1,000 making it to adulthood, or have they studied that?
I think it's based a lot on modeling, but I think there's been some studies as well.
All right. So, Umaro, with Collier County Sea Turtle Protection Program, I wanted to ask you, I think it's interesting that the county actually has a sea turtle protection program. What made them want to get involved in looking after sea turtles? I mean, what exactly does that program do?
The county started taking care of their sea turtles back in the late 1980s when we started doing beach renourishment. So the whole program is tied to pretty much beach renourishment. We compare the natural beaches with the beaches that have been renourished. Also, we rake the beaches in Collier County. If you rake a beach, you know, you could wipe away the track, so the beach rakers have to wait for us to monitor the beach before they can get out there. So it has a lot to do with our permit conditions for beach renourishment and also beach raking and other activities, construction activities that can be done during sea turtle season because we are out there. Mm-hmm. You know, building a boardwalk or things like that.
Yeah, it's good to have people on the ground. So where are we right now in the season? Is everybody hatched? Or do we still have a couple of late-blooming nests?
Irma took everything away from Collier County. We didn't have anything left after Hurricane Irma.
Mm-hmm. What's happening in Bonita and Fort Myers? Anybody still being monitored there?
No, well, the season is basically over, but we did have some nests that were actually high enough that they did survive Irma, and we had hatching after the storm, believe it or not.
Oh,
not too many, but a few.
We can name them all Irma.
Yeah.
Name every one of those little guys Irma. And then, Kelly, I was going to ask out on Sanibel Captiva, do you have any nests still out there?
No, we don't. We inventoried our last nest in November.
In November. So your chances of seeing a nest hatch this year has now passed.
That's right, yeah.
So can you give me some tips for people that are interested in learning more about monitoring sea turtles? What kind of things do people need to do if they want to try to help? That might be a nice question for Carol. What do people need to do if they want to do something to add to the success rate of sea turtles in our area?
Well, there's a lot of things they can do. They can be a volunteer with us or any of the organizations up and down the coast. There's such things as making sure your lights are in compliance. That's a big factor. And not walking around with a flashlight or your cell phone flashlight on the beach. Removing furniture and other beach equipment, things like that, that the turtles can get hung up in. Even trash and debris on the beach is important, and they can pick that up. The turtles don't get hung up in it.
Oh, there's been a big movement lately, too, to avoid plastic straws. Have you seen any issues with plastic straws on beaches and turtles getting involved in those?
We haven't directly. I know Fort Myers Beach did that ban, but there's the – it's been out on the Internet, the turtle that was down in Central America, South America, that they found that had it had somehow – ingested it, and it was stuck in its nose, and they did pull it out. But that's on the Internet.
So. Yeah, one video like that can spark an entire beach getting rid of plastic straws. So, and then, meanwhile, there's a whole lake of plastic somewhere out there in the ocean that we're keeping an eye on, too.
Right. This plastic bags, fishing line, anything like that is really – they can get hung up in any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, Maura, you were talking earlier about – well, actually, we were all talking about the difference in sea turtle tracks. You can tell by the difference of the path on the way to the nest as to what kind of – what species you're dealing with there.
Yes, the loggerhead turtle – actually, all of them have totally different – walking types.
Like patterns that they
walking patterns,
center.
Exactly. The loggerhead sea turtle, it's every other flipper, and the green turtle comes up together. The leatherback has a totally different crawl. They're very, very wide, and after they nest, they do what it's called an orientation circle, where they kind of spin around before they go back. So it's pretty easy to tell who has been on the beach.
Yes, this coming from people who've been walking each every season. So this is your season to sleep in, am I right? Or do you still get up at 5 in the morning?
I still get up at 5 in the morning.
Carol, do you still get up early?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yeah, I sure do.
You just don't get, you just get into that habit, I guess, right? Do you still walk the beaches, too, just to see what's happening out there?
I do.
Yeah? No? I'm getting shaking heads in here.
Not in the morning.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guest, Maura Krause, is Principal Environmental Specialist and Sea Turtle Protection Program Coordinator for Collier County. Maura, thanks for coming back on the show. It's great to have you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also, Carol Lift from the Sea Turtle Nest Monitoring Program called Turtle Time Incorporated. Thanks, Carol, for coming in.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank Kelly Sloan. She's a biologist and a sea turtle coordinator with the Sanibel Captiva Conservation Foundation. Thanks so much for talking with us today, Kelly.
Thank you.
Coming up, it's Older Driver Safety Awareness Week. Have you ever had to have the conversation with a family member about whether it's time to give up the keys? We're digging into that touchy subject with two safe driving experts. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Stay tuned. Green's the color.